Jason Statham literally fist fights a shark. I'm in. We saw The Meg, so you know what that means.
What's a nigga grow a baby in his belly? Rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly. Or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow. And take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Ran the games of Street Fighter, helped to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado, the Birdemic, how we staying alive. They call it in the badass, and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes, cause they cool as ice. Cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you: how did this get made?
What's up, people of Earth? And how are you, Los Angeles? We are here live at Largo, our LA home. So excited to be here tonight to talk to you about a movie that is important. So important, we couldn't wait the 4 months for it to come out on video on demand. No, we didn't give this the skyscraper treatment. We said you have to go to the theater and see this movie. You need to support the box office. And you did. This movie came in number one, and I think it's all because of you. So excited to talk about this movie, which is Jason Statham fighting sharks, single-handedly. I know there are other people in it, but I don't remember them, and I can't tell you their names. But to talk about this movie tonight, I have assembled an amazing panel, of course, led by my amazing co-host. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks? Ooh-wee! Show of hands, who is at the 5 p.m. Arclight showing of this movie? Yeah, by the way, I think me and the people in the audience were the only ones there.
I will say that I think most of our panel is freshly from the theater.
Ooh, you can
smell the popcorn on them.
I still got popcorn in my mouth. Holy cow.
I want to talk about this movie in great detail, and that's what we're going to hear. We're going to do it.
You don't want to just broad strokes this one?
I had some other things I would like to get into. Frosé, we could talk about that.
Frosé all day, baby.
Love it. Make it. Anyway.
Under everyone's seat.
Get it before it melts. If it's just Frosé,
we are responsible for many alcoholics falling back into bad habits simply by forcing Frosé on you.
Talk to me, Jason, very briefly. I went in very briefly, because we're going to get into it in the show, but
great.
High hopes. I went in with very high hopes. Where did it fall? Did it exceed them? Did it meet them? Did it go under
them? You know, I also very high hopes, and it didn't exceed them.
No.
Can you imagine what this would have been if we had gone and it had exceeded our hopes?
There was a hope that it would have exceeded it.
I mean, what would that entail? More boobs, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes.
You know, some parts were kind of exactly where I wanted the whole movie to be, and some parts were like, oof, I wish this wasn't happening.
I feel like that is a good summation of this film. I am pretty much on
your
same...
It was like a 40% yay, you know, 45% yay, 55% oof, maybe? Somewhere in there? I don't know.
And there were moments when they hit that you were like, fuck yeah. Like, for example, the very end title card, Finn. Fucking yeah. 100%. I'm like, I want that movie all day long. I got this movie, and I'm happy with this movie, but I wanted more.
I will say this. If anybody else but Jason Statham had been in this movie,
yes,
it would have been awful. It would have been awful.
100% agree.
Like, I'm trying to think.
Well, originally, it was going to be directed by Eli Roth, and yes, apparently the reason why he left the project, I think, was because he wanted to be the lead actor in it. So that would have been... No, and I just feel like you need someone with a very strong gravitas. The Rock could have done this.
Yeah.
I don't believe his body in a diving swimming situation.
Well, really? Baywatch, baby.
Ooh, you're right.
I will say this. Like, I feel like The Rock should have done this instead of Skyscraper. Right?
Well, look, I don't want to shit on Skyscraper.
You
a future
don't?
Episode. A future episode of the show. I want to save my opinions for that movie. I've never seen Die Hard, and this is my favorite movie about a burning building. No, I'm just joking. I've seen Die Hard.
A gentleman over here just lost his mind.
What?
What?
Wait. I don't want to get too far ahead of this discussion.
I like that for that guy, that's the big reveal of the night.
She's never seen Die Hard. I've seen them all multiple times.
Except the first one.
Yes. Which cannot be as good as the one with Justin Long. I know. How can it be good? More Bonnie Bedelia all day long is what I think. That's the success of the franchise.
Oh, give me Bonnie Bedelia. Give me an Ann Archer. Where are you, ladies of the 80s?
Ladies of the 80s is Jason and I's other podcast.
Yep.
All right.
Ladies of the 80s. By the
Kim Basinger is our focus on today's episode.
That is a podcast I would legitimately do.
Gina Davis.
Gina Davis. Accidental tourist? Come on!
Fletch. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest had very strong opinions about the film Bloodsport. She is hilariously funny. She's a great stand-up comedian. She has an amazingly hilarious Netflix show. Please welcome Nicole Byer!
Kumite! 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 Kumite!
Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you for having me.
So excited to have you here back again. I feel like we needed to bring you back for a film that, look, I mean, The Meg, where do you fall on it? Were you excited about it? Did you know about it?
I had no idea about it.
Okay.
Hadn't seen one trailer, but I knew it was about a shark, and I was like, I hope it's like a woman who falls in love with the shark she calls Meg. And that's not what it was about.
You wanted it to be a woman
yes.
who falls in love with a shark named Meg.
Yes.
Like, and the shark is a female shark named Megan?
Sure.
I'm into it.
I don't care.
I'm into it. Like a lesbian The Shape of Water.
Yes. Yes.
By the way, I'm into it.
Yes.
100%. No, but I will say, you got a great love story in here. I mean,
but there was no dick. There was, nobody fucked, and we were at the same showing. Did you hear me going, when they gonna fuck? Because I said it out loud 3 times.
No, I didn't hear you. Nicole and I figured out we were at the same screening, did not know it.
No.
I was very busy jerking off.
Yes, and I was busy scooping my puss.
Yeah.
Don't go to that arc light. If you're in L.A., avoid it.
Wait, I think I did see you, because you had an ice cream scooper.
I had an ice cream scooper. I was hovering over the seat, just scooping it.
Guys, it's so hot.
And to be fair, you did the same thing for Christopher Robin.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Gotta scoop that honey out.
Oh.
Well, where did it fall on your scale? Not knowing anything.
If it's Christopher Robin, I'm scooping my butt. Because that's where the poo is.
Boom, boom, boom.
No?
In that movie.
I loved it.
No, true or false? Great. True or false, Winnie the Pooh does teach Christopher Robin how to go down on his wife. Is that true?
Yes. Right. Yes, and the CGI poo has a dick.
Nicole, did the movie meet expectations, fall below expectations, or exceed expectations?
Oh, boy. It was just so wild. It was like a first draft that like 8 people wrote together, and they were like, ah! We don't have all the parts, but let's shoot it. And I admire that.
I feel like someone said, if you can shoot the movie next month, we'll give you the boats. And they were like, okay.
I feel like it's probably not far away from that. It was, I felt like it was a team of international road rules contestants writing it. It was like no one spoke the same language, but they understood that they could make a movie. They all understood movie.
It was like the dialogue was written in another language and then translated to English. Like,
I'm not even sure some of those people, English is their third language.
It was wild.
Now, obviously, you know, I bring a level of expertise to a film like this because I, of course, was in Piranha 3D, Piranha 3DD. I know about animals attacking people, but there's also someone who also has a similar level of experience. Someone who's been on the show before. He is a hilariously funny guy. He has been in shows like Parks and Rec, Big Little Lies. Please welcome Adam Scott! Welcome.
All right.
Welcome, Adam. Also fresh from the theater.
Oh, yeah. It came straight here from the Grove where I saw this movie.
And
what are your treats of choice, Adam?
I sat there. For dinner, I had a bag of peanut M&Ms tonight.
Yeah.
And a Diet Coke the size of a swimming pool.
Do they have one of those Coke machines where you can kind of do whatever you want, like 190 flavors at the...
No, it wasn't the touchscreen one, like which is a bummer. It's the best.
I know. I want that so bad.
I want one in every room of my house. I don't like it.
It's too overwhelming. No. Because then you're like, what if I mix grape and cherry? And you're like, well, it's trash.
I know. You never end up doing it, right? Because you know it's going to be terrible.
I do it, and then I dump it out. Then I'm that lady who's like, sorry, everyone.
You have to start over.
Gotta get more ice.
Like, you guys are treating getting soda at the movies like it's an experimental, like a lab.
It reminds me of like going to 7-Eleven when I was a kid, but with 150 choices. Mm-hmm. I lean heavily into seltzer and the flavors.
What's happening right now? You know what I did? I said to the guy at the counter, can I have a root beer? That's what happened to me.
Arclight doesn't slum it with these big Coke machines where you can put like a million flavors. Like, I can have watermelon soda. That's what my go-to is. It's delicious.
Yeah.
I've never had that, and I feel like I should have had watermelon soda.
It's really, it's a mellow yellow.
I feel like the crowd just caught on to that. It's black people's national fruit. Like, we all know that. That's like if I haven't had fried chicken soda. Like, that would be the first thing I taste.
It's 150 flavors. Do they have fried chicken soda?
They do.
Like, where are we at here? What is this?
I mix it a little bit with a Coke Zero, and it tastes really good. The fried
chicken
soda.
Is there go-gurt in there? Can I get, like, a thick, viscous yogurt?
But you can get a milkshake at like a machine at a gas station. It's called For Real.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, you put the cup in and they mix it.
Yes, and you could pick your thickness, and I love it.
Oh. Wow.
I love it. Oh, I love gas station milkshakes. They're so good.
Do you also get to pick, is one of the selections how quickly it becomes diarrhea? Do you get to set a timer on it? Like, well, I'll be home in about a half an hour, so in about 45 minutes, I want to have like hot brown water explode out of my ass.
It's just an ice cream treat that they just stir up for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adam, this movie, where did it fall? Where did it fall on your scale?
That's where the poo is.
Did it exceed your expectations? Did it come in below? What did you feel?
I will say that I was as weirdly invested in seeing this movie as Cliff Curtis was weirdly invested in Jason Statham and the leading lady's relationship in this movie.
A character whose name I think was Mac. Mm-hmm. And it was indistinguishable when Statham said Meg or Mac. Mm-hmm. So he'd be like, where's Mac? And you were like, wait, is he asking about the guy who's his friend or where's the shark right now?
That's right. I was confused by that and I've already forgotten about it. Like, I think most of them.
Oh, this movie has one of those things that if you watch it till the end, it tricks you into forgetting it. If there's like a post-hypnotic suggestion, and
that's
you
right.
will just forget it almost instantaneously.
That's right.
I will say that this movie, it's interesting because I think they made a really serious movie that was bad, and then they were like, but what if we just made it a little bit lighter in moments? Like, it had like a weird tone that it never really went either way.
It was weird. It was like they, because there were lots of parts of The Abyss that were lifted, lots of
sure.
elements of Jaws, but it was as if they had never seen The Abyss or Jaws.
They took out all, like, the most of the movie is the third act of Jaws,
right.
but without the first act, or like where there's any terror, or like they don't even seem to be that freaked out. They're like, yeah,
no one ever screamed.
Yeah. No.
No one was ever like, ah, I'm gonna die. Like, nobody.
At the very end, at the beach in China, a woman screams in English, shark.
Yes. No, well,
like,
that was a white
what?
Woman.
A white woman
on vacation.
At the Chinese
she was having
beach,
the day of her
shark.
Life. She was upset.
Yeah, I get it. But I'm like, I was like, what is going on?
By the way, that beach does not exist. Like, what?
A beach
like,
where every water sport is happening concurrent.
And everyone
like,
is
everybody's
in.
Like,
everyone is in an inner tube.
Everyone is in an inner tube.
And then they have floating rafts, and I was like, how did they get out there?
And they have jet skis going
yes,
in between.
Yeah. And then, like, and stand-up paddle boarding.
And people in giant balls.
That
and
was,
people,
I want
people
one.
Doing...
I want to get in one of them balls.
Yes. I want to get in one of those balls, too.
That was like... genuinely a fun element, was the guy in the ball being chased.
Mm-hmm.
And then him biting it was weirdly disappointing.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like that bite would have been great in 3D because it seemed like the cap of the ball shoots at you and you're like, whoa!
I think they did it wrong. I think the shark should have bit it and then the man should have been propelled forward.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Like, that would have been very funny.
Yes. Yeah.
What was this movie rated?
PG-13.
Okay, because that was the other thing. I felt like the kills were unsatisfying.
Yes.
And as a result, you are like, oh, how many people is the shark actually getting? Everybody kind of gets away.
Well, they're basically, I mean, they're not even in a danger of people getting killed besides those people on the station for literally like 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Or an hour and 40 minutes. Yeah.
Also, a lot of the time they're on the surface of the ocean in a rig that is pretty safe rather than being trapped under the water or on a boat. There's a period of time on the boat, but it just felt like for being in this situation, the stakes were weirdly low.
I mean, there's a couple of things. I mean, the movie is based upon the premise that Jason Statham is an underwater, like, EMT, right? Like, I mean, like, he is...
But he's reluctant.
Reluctant underwater EMT.
He's really bummed about it.
And he's like, but that's his thing, is he's the best at deep sea rescue.
Right.
Not the best at, like, diving, not the best at... Whatever, he's the best at deep sea rescue.
But
how often are his skills necessary?
You don't hear that
Once.
Many, like, yeah.
And he's super pissed about it.
Yeah.
Well, he clearly is not that great because the minute they get onto that sunken submarine, he immediately takes off the hazmat suit, which I'm like, I don't know if that's the smartest choice immediately to be like, no, we're all good here. It's like, no. That seems to be there for a reason. There could be many of gases out there. But
There could be. You're right. Many of gases out there.
Many gases out there.
Many of gases out there on the sub.
Yep. Someone could have farted inside the submarine, too. You never know.
But the opening moment is, you know, the Meg, or a Meg, like, is attacking this big sub, and he makes a decision. And he thinks about it. And how do we know he thinks about it? Because that camera.
Oh, yeah.
This is the crazy thing about this movie. The thinking shots. Mm-hmm. He's just like. Yeah. I've never seen a powerful shot before.
He's awesome, though.
He's great. Yeah. Like, again, with like Jason said, without Statham in it, it's not a good movie.
I don't know.
All right.
I think Will Smith could have done a very good job.
Oh.
Okay.
Because Men in Black is a masterpiece.
Sure.
And
here's what else. Yes, I agree. There are people of that level who would have been great. Mm-hmm. I'm saying at Statham level.
Well,
because Will Smith, yes, 1,000,000%.
George
yes.
Clooney was attached originally.
Really?
Literally. No.
Yes.
Ooh, really? That would have been a
movie,
treat.
When this movie was first put together, George Clooney was attached as the lead guy.
That's
wild.
That's nuts.
Yeah. I mean.
But Rainn Wilson's been in since the jump, right?
Rainn Wilson's character in this movie is interesting because he's essentially like an Elon Musk who seemingly is nice until the very last time we see him. Like, oh, you're evil? But like, there was nothing to connote that he was evil.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
And I mean this. What was his macro plan? What's he up to?
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. I understand, like... he didn't want this to get out. He didn't want the culpability to be put back on him when he says, oh, these are all people, any attack, they could sue me or whatever. But what's his initial plan?
To go beneath the surface.
For what?
Yeah, for what?
To be like, cool, we found a new thing.
But he gets there not understanding anything and has to be introduced to everything that's happening there.
But he's got very cool sneakers.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I loved that all of the secondary characters were stereotypes. Like, the black guy couldn't swim,
That was wild.
That was crazy.
It blew my mind.
They acknowledged how racist it was and then just kept doing it.
Yes.
Because I think in the line, he was like, oh, because I'm black, but then later was like, I can't swim! Yeah. Oh, a mass will pull me out! It was so wild.
It was crazy.
Except in this case, the NASA is a tiny Asian girl.
Who's like, shut the fuck up!
And there's an odd thing with him, too, because not only do they embarrass him by not having him swim, but he's like, this wasn't in the job description. It's like, wait, working in an undersea research facility? You didn't think you were going to be anywhere near what? Like, he didn't seem smart at his job, and I didn't know what
The rover pilot? I guess that's what he's there for, is the rover pilot.
Yeah.
Everyone there. Job.
Yeah, Ruby Rose, I'm like, I don't know
what
the fuck she
is. What was going on with her hair? She had some nasty little dreadlocks that I couldn't handle.
But they also did that in the movie. There was like, what's up with your hair?
Yeah.
Like every time they wanted to like either indulge in a stereotype or whatever, I felt like somebody was like, well, if you speak to it in the movie, you can do whatever you want.
but he said, what's up with your hair when she just got out of the water and it was just wet and slick back. And then in the next scene, it's all crazy again and everyone's fine with it at that
And then she gives him a real good slam. She's like, what's up with yours? He's bald. And he's like, oh, touche.
Yep.
And that's the kind of level of writing that you're getting throughout.
These are people who, within the last 4 hours, have watched four of their friends be murdered in front of them.
But they only cared about one. They only cared about Toshi?
Toshi.
Yes. Toshi.
Toshi and the Wall,
my favorite,
which is my favorite indie rock band.
But after he dies, they're all having a meeting, and his picture's just on the computer.
What was that about?
It was awesome. It was like clip art. It was just in the corner. Someone made a mistake.
Computer things of all the stuff they're looking at, and then his like ID picture watching over them.
I mean, my favorite moment was when the grandfather dies and the daughter goes. They get off the boat and the daughter's like, well, now I gotta tell my daughter immediately.
She's
like, just so you know, grandfather's dead. Yeah. Okay, let's go back. Like
here's my question.
But the little girl didn't even have a reaction to it.
None. Everyone here is suffering from something because they don't react. The shark isn't a big deal. Like,
right.
This is the biggest, craziest thing. Like, when they were getting in that tube, he's like, I'm afraid of getting in the tube. He's like, why? Fucking, you can't bite through this.
And it's a shark that's like as big as a city bus that gets eaten by a shark that's as big as like, what, 8 city
Amtrak
buses?
Yeah.
And everyone's just kind of figuring it out.
I think it would be the same reaction if it was like an 8-foot shark. They'd be like, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, when they put the woman in the shark cage,
yes,
right? Mm-hmm. That basically becomes a probiotic pill that the shark is trying to swallow.
Gag down.
I was like, why? Yes, of course. This is a shark-proof thing for all of the sharks that we know about, right?
Right.
Now, what we're up against, though, is a shark that is, you've already seen, exponentially larger, stronger, more dangerous. And she's like, I'm going to be fine. But do me this one favor. As you're lowering me down into the depths to face this shark, make sure my daughter is on board, watching every moment of this. Yeah. Why is her daughter there?
Yeah.
Her daughter is there like, doo 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 doo. What?
She is not a good... First of all, I have issues with that tank because the one thing they learned was don't put on the lights, right? The first team went down, the lights fucking make this shark angry. First thing that tube goes down, boom, 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 boom. 3 lights. Like, all right, okay. And then her big plan was to have like a laser pointer gun and shoot that into the shark's
eyes.
Out of
the smallest hole in America. It was so tiny. And she misses. She went, oh no.
She misses once.
Once.
And then nails it the second time. It took more arrows to hit the single missing scale of Smaug than it does to get this shark right in the soft spot.
But also, the entirety of the logic of them being out there on the boat and trying to shoot a tranquilizer. No, first, before this is a tranquilizer, it's the tracker device.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're like, okay, the shark is like 100 yards out there just swimming back and forth. And they go, okay, let's drive the boat over there and shoot the tracker device. And the guy's like, no, he's already shown aggression towards boats. So
yes,
we can't
and then
do
they
that.
Stay on a boat the whole time.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, well then obviously one of us has to swim out there.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, I guess I'll go. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Statham jumps in that water like, I think he has a death wish because for him, like he at any given point is like, fuck it, woof, like going in.
Yeah.
And then I realized, I think part of the reason is because Jason Statham was a Olympic diver and this is him competing. You can see a little,
really?
Here he is. This is some classic Statham footage. Here we go.
England's Jason Statham. He's in 9th position. Forward, 2.5 somersault with 1 twist, 2.8.
Ooh, yeah, look at that dick.
Far too much forward travel on that dive. On the left, Beverly Boys.
Pretty big splash when he hit the water.
Lightning
position.
Wait, do splashes cost?
His forward, 3.5 somersault
why
with
there's
tuck.
No fat divers?
I was on a diving team.
He's good. I mean, look.
Okay. I mean, okay.
But I mean, yeah, he is jumping in at a moment's notice to get that shark. And like when he comes out, what did that guy say? I wrote it down. It was like, he goes, you might be a son of a bitch, but you're no coward.
Yeah. And then laughed.
Yeah. Give him like a wink and a laugh.
By the way, just before I forget, can I add Nancy Travis and Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio to Ladies of the 80s.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio is everything.
Yes.
Everything for me.
I really like that they made Jason Statham a beer drunk. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, oh, he drinks beer all the time because he has a real beer bod. You know,
yeah. He looked really comfortable holding that beer through the whole scene.
I also like the that he had some breezy culottes on and like a fun vacay hat.
Yep.
And I love that he's like, you'll never get me back in the water. And they're like, but it's your ex-wife. And he's like, suiting up. He's like, all right.
But the best part about when they convince him to come back in for his ex-wife was like, oh, look what just happened. And they take out an iPhone and they put, like, they hit like the voice message feature. Like, and they just play an audio recording of her going, oh my God. Oh, like no.
Right. It was so, like, they hadn't cast the actor yet or something.
Show him some fucking footage. Give him something. Just don't play it. Yeah.
It was weird. That's the whole reason he comes, is to save her. And then he saves her and she disappears from the movie.
Yeah. Not a part
of
it.
He starts a romantic storyline with someone else.
They're not
and
even their romantic. Tension. They don't even kiss.
No, they don't.
Like, the little girl knew what was up and I was like, help him out. Show him to a room.
Yeah.
But then they got to a meeting late, just the two of them. So I was like, maybe they did fuck? I don't know. I spent most of the movie being like, who's fucking?
Do you think that the bride and groom on the ship, those great side characters, are they fucking this
No, because that woman kept being like, you ruined my wedding! Yeah. And then that dog was on a power trip. That dog
Pippin.
Off the boat, and then was just swimming towards the shark, and then they thought it was important to get a close-up of this dog swimming.
And to show that he was alive at the end. Why were those people jumping off the boat? Like, they seemed like they were part of the wedding party.
It was like, as soon as they took the picture, it was time to jump into the water. That tradition.
But the bride was upset that they were jumping in the water.
Right. Yeah.
Because she wanted more pictures. They were ruining her wedding.
I guess so.
You know brides.
Yeah, brides. You know women.
I don't.
I'm sorry, man.
I just went,
buddy.
Like it wasn't a fucking joke. Oh, no.
Someday, I'm going to be on a yacht getting married. The dog's going to go in the water and we're all going to get eaten by a megalodon.
Did you like Jason Statham's swimming song? Swimming, swimming, I'm swimming in the water.
Wasn't that from... Oh, I thought he was singing the Finding Nemo.
Oh.
And I was like, they're going to get sued. Disney's not nice.
Did not realize that.
Yeah, it was just keep swimming, just keep swimming. And I said, you didn't hear this? When I said it out loud, they're going to get sued. You didn't hear that? I guess I should talk louder in movies.
Please don't take that as evidence.
Nope, I gotta speak louder.
Please boost your volume.
No, I gotta stand up and state my cause. Yep, James.
You know the mistake you made was sitting so far front. You know, if you sit further back, you'll carry over the audience.
Ah,
you know, like you were yelling straight to the screen.
You're
basically.
Right. I should just lean back.
Or just bring some sort of mobile mic and amp and just like boom.
Yes, buy I'll bring my karaoke machine. I'll set it up.
Everybody all set here?
They're going to get sued.
I really
Who's fucking?
You've watched a special Arclight presentation with Nicole Byer.
By the way, I would go to movies specifically knowing that you were in that screening.
Absolutely.
With a speaker just talking the whole time.
My roommate
like, you know,
does...
Some screenings at the Arclight are like 21 and over, or the filmmaker will be present. I would like it if there's a little asterisk and it just says Nicole Byer will be shouting during this movie.
Nicole Byer will be trying to figure out who is fucking.
It is a weird...
You can program whatever movies you want. Shame.
Who's fucking?
Who's fucking?
But I do feel like it would be fun because it would be when you would actually go see a movie. So it could be a 5 o'clock screening. Mm-hmm. It could be a Sunday screening. It would just, you have to catch it at random. Like it's not, yeah.
I can't believe you didn't hear me. I talked through the whole movie. There were so many moments where I went, mm-mm, and my roommate kept going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That sounds delightful. I wish I had. If I'd known, we could have had so much more fun together.
We could have just been giggling and terrorized everybody else.
Yeah.
It would have been fun.
Plus, these turds over here were there.
Okay. Are you an NFL fan? Because there are NFL fans, and then there are NFL fans. And I know I didn't say anything different, but there's a podcast called Move the Sticks, which is, I mean, this is the NFL fans podcast, okay? Here's the deal. Move the Sticks podcast is hosted by former NFL scouts Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. Now, here's the thing. These guys are scouting NFL league talent. They've been doing it from high school all the way up through college. They're doing it through the NFL draft. They will tell you exactly who's going to emerge as the next big stars. Plus, they're talking to GMs, head coaches, top draft prospects, and no one brings you the inner workings of football better than Move the Sticks. Now, it's getting into fantasy football season, right? We need all the help we can get. We also want to understand what the hell is going on, and Move the Sticks podcast provides this like kind of detailed analysis of the college and pro game from seasoned experts, right? From the NFL combine straight through the Super Bowl, there is no off season on Move the Sticks. Okay, they're always talking, they're always breaking it down. Jeremiah and Brooks break down the most impressive performances every single week and explain how individual players and teams are able to be successful based on their skill sets, technique, and coaching decisions. All right, this is like the coach mode in Madden. You're getting in the nitty gritty. You're getting in the weeds here. And if you get in the weeds, you're going to be good at fantasy football, and you're going to be more interesting to talk to because you're just not repeating the same thing that everyone else is talking about. So it's Move the Sticks podcast, wherever podcasts are heard, okay? Get on it. And guess what? Their episodes drop 3 motherfucking times a week. 3 times a week. So this is up to date. Move the Sticks podcast, available on your favorite podcast app or NFL.com. I felt like, and it's no fault of the actors.
I'm no, sure it everyone's is. Doing a good. It like, is. That whole but, movie was the best takes they got.
Well, like, that, this is like my here. Bad. This is like what I thought. Before you shoot a scene as an actor, they have people come in, their stand-ins, and they just kind of like walk through the lines just to get camera blocking and stuff. It's a real pace thing. So it'd be like, yeah, you know, prehistoric shark just killed our friends. Okay, great, we got that. Yeah, that the camera will go here, great. And I felt like this movie, if you told me, oh yeah, all those people were stand-ins, and this is before the real actors came to set, I'd be like, yeah, I buy it.
Yeah, they like, cut together the stand-in version yeah, this, of the whole movie.
Because it just, everything seemed so blasé. There was no energy. And when I when the movie starts, like Rainn Wilson, God bless, because he gets off that ship and he's like, I'm giving it. I'm like talking in Chinese. Yeah. I'm doing bits.
But he slowly has less energy as the movie goes on.
It's like the
as
movie
if they shot it in order.
Dry.
Yeah. But they also like punctured his character with all these weird moves, so you couldn't figure out who he was or what he wanted or what he was doing.
Just make him an asshole rich guy, like who's right. along for the ride. Make him like Mark Cuban or somebody. And but yet they like, not that Mark Cuban's an asshole. I love him. Sharks. Let's Shark Tank. Shark. That would have been great to all together. But I feel like yeah.
Ooh, Paul. I just got a text from Mark Cuban.
Oh, shit.
If he is not getting in,
he's really upset about what you said about him.
He is invested 25% in my 150 frozen yogurt flavored machine that I have at all movie theaters, and if this does not go through, Jason, I am in trouble.
Oh, hang on, Barbara Corcoran just texted me.
Should I take it? Should I take it?
If she said if Cuban's out, she's in.
If Marcus Lemonis comes in at the last second, I'm going with Marcus.
Paul. Marcus Lemonis just texted me. From The Prophet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He said if Barbara doesn't work out,
yeah.
and if Cuban's out,
yeah.
for 100% control
okay.
over your business,
got it.
He will give you $200,000 and he will make all of your familial troubles smoothed over.
Fuck,
but,
I'm in.
But he is 100%
in charge. Yes.
All right, I'm going to agree to this and then forget that I agreed to this exact thing and question everything that he does. Guys, this is some Prophet humor. It's one of the best shows.
The Prophet, if you're not watching it, what the hell are you
guys.
Doing?
No, it was weird. It's a weird zone for Rainn Wilson to be in because when he goes evil at the end, he hasn't built up enough equity to be a villain that you care about.
Yeah, no, it's no.
And he's not really villainous in his goals, I guess. He's just kind
of... He just wants a shark to... At the end, he becomes Bond villain has, like, get me a shark tooth from my desk.
Yeah.
And you get one too. It's like, well, all right.
I was confused because he was like, let's drop this dynamite and kill all of these people. But then they didn't. They dropped it on the shark, right?
Yeah. Well, I thought it
ended up being a whale.
I don't
like
know.
Like, he was going to kill all the people?
It was confusing because I thought he was going to kill the people, but then I was like, oh, no, he's going to kill that shark so nobody can sue him from being murdered by the shark. But I'm like,
right.
They're dead.
And by the way, isn't killing the shark a good thing? Like,
right.
If that's the
what
case,
they're trying to do for the whole movie.
Yes. Yes.
And he just had a better plan to kill it instead of...
I have a question about this section of the movie. At this point, I went to the bathroom. Where did they get missiles from?
Yeah.
Wait, what missiles?
They're part of their plan, right. Is that when they bring the little yellow scooters, underwater scooters.
The same planes from missiles. Phantom Menace.
He and this woman, each of them has a missile on the edge of their thing that they're like gonna shoot at the shark. Where did they get a missile from?
Okay, but they don't use them, do they?
She does, but it misses.
Then Jason Statham's, he like hit it on a rock or something, so right. It got locked, and then he couldn't use it.
Yeah,
so
but
why
so
even
he
have them?
Killed it by cutting its belly
yes.
with what?
And then that the shark fin. Decided to go to the surface so he could stab it in the eye. You didn't hear me go, what the fuck? I literally
I
screamed that.
Yes. I don't want to tell you that I didn't hear you say anything. I did, certainly. But I couldn't make out exactly what you were saying.
Ah, okay, yes.
Was it the stabbing in the eye that killed it? Is that what we're
I guess like
to
he
think?
Shoved that pole so deep into
yes.
the eye that
nope.
it went into its brain.
That
dome.
Makes
it,
no sense.
No way. No way. No way. That shark could live for another 200 years.
Absolutely.
With a thing stuck in its eye.
Right.
Easy.
Its brain is like 40 yards in.
Yes. And also, it's probably the size of a middle school.
Yeah. With Marcus Lemonis inside of it making fun of Echo.
But I would love it if half of the movie... here's what I wanted. I wanted the shark... to swallow the woman in the cage.
Yes.
Then he has to go into the shark.
Pinocchio style.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
To rescue her. You know, yeah. Isn't his name is Jonas,
yes.
which is Jonah and the whale,
well,
right? So get the fuck in that shark, asshole.
By the way, so the original ending of the movie was, or I guess in the book, Jonas.
There's a book?
Oh, yeah. This is a novel. This is a
100%
is it called The Meg?
Not interested.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
We've got to read
it
the book.
Is a young adult yeah. book?
No, it is not a young adult.
It's a young adult book in which the shark has cancer but falls in love for the first time.
That's what I wanted to see.
By the way, I'm pretty sure there's a Peter Benchley follow-up to Jaws called The Meg, but this is based on a novel by Steve Alton. And it says here that the end of the book was Jonas kills Meg by diving down into its throat and into its belly and then ripping its heart out from within. And then what happens is the Meg gives birth to three baby Megs.
Yes.
One of them survives.
Great. I mean,
yeah, I like that.
That's a way better.
Shoot that.
Why do like a kish? Like an eye stab.
Even if you do that, still get. Why not do all of that anyway? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could have, because there are, spoiler alert, two giant sharks in this movie. Do one to one and one to the other. Like, come on.
Oh, guys.
I want to get in these sharks.
By the way, I'm looking at some information here. When I said that George Clooney was attached, that was back in 1997.
Oh, wow.
When the movie was first, when the rights of the book were first bought.
What?
Oh.
This has been going on since 97?
1997, Walt Disney Company bought the book rights after it was published for $1 million.
Wow.
And it went
well,
into
honestly,
turnaround.
Honestly, what are we doing? What are we doing with our lives?
It went into turnaround because they didn't think it could succeed after Deep Blue Sea,
yeah.
another movie featured on this podcast. So like Deep Blue Sea, like they had to wait from 97
wait,
till now.
Wait, is it yeah. still owned by Disney?
No,
they
it went to
rights?
Somewhere. It went, no. They gave it to somebody else.
Wow.
Yeah.
For free.
Free.
By the way, this movie made like 40-some odd million dollars.
Yeah. Well,
it's like right a legit
now,
success.
Right now, the budget is $130 million. That's the budget. And the worldwide gross, as of today, is $213 million.
That's insane.
It made $45 million in opening weekend. It's already made $60 million here. It is...
In China, I bet it's doing very well.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Oh, it's yeah. Like, this movie is made... This is like... We're watching a Chinese imported movie. Like,
yeah.
I think
yeah.
China has been seeing a lot of American imported movies. We're watching a Chinese imported movie, I feel like.
In so this. There's going to be a sequel. What would it be, like, The Megan?
Those kids are coming out of the superhighway. What did they
if
say?
It's just like Meg Ryan just coming up from under the water.
But doing the O scene from Harry Met Sally, yes. The shark is having...
She's just, and then Billy Crystal's in the movie as well. And it's the two of them. It's the sequel to When Harry Met Sally and the sequel to this.
I love it. Combine the franchises. I think, by the way, when they said... I wrote down my favorite lines as we were going through. It's like, are you telling me that we created a superhighway for giant sharks? Another line.
I did not understand what the fuck they were talking about when they talked about the superhighway.
Okay, I think I got it. So, like, there was, like... A part of the ocean that was, like, too cold and, like, also, like, too hot at the same time.
Yeah.
So then a barrier broke between the cold and the hot. And then I guess the shark was like, oh, shit, there's a hole. And then the shark was like, okay. And then that's how the shark got up. I think it was caused by
the ship.
Yeah, the ship going
exploding.
Up fast.
Yeah.
But so now, it provided a pathway for
yes.
A super highway.
Water.
Yeah, you know how in the water there's just something that keeps you down.
Yeah, that's right.
You take a bath, and you're like, I can't get out.
But my question about that was when they went into that special undersea water, like I thought it would be like a really beautiful, like, whoa.
Yeah. No, they didn't
it
light
just
it.
Just the same way.
Know,
yeah,
they
it's
did
dark.
It.
Can you believe what you're seeing? And it just looked like the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
And it was like,
I would rather
like
stay
a
in the
fish
top part.
Eating another fish.
Yeah.
And I was like, looks normal to me.
Yeah.
And there was one part where they go down and you see a fish, but it immediately turns away. And I was like, but that's your close-up. Why didn't the fish go get it?
But you know what I loved? I loved, and here's what I was like, yes, if this is the movie, I'm 100% on board. Giant squid attacked
her little hover
pod or whatever it is.
Her go-kart.
Skipper, what's it called?
A go-kart.
Her go-kart. Her underwater go-kart. And I was like, cool. This is what I want. I want everything down. I want it to be underwater kaiju fight. Like, let's
yeah.
do this.
Yes.
Right? But
no.
That's Rampage.
And then the shark comes and takes the squid.
Yeah.
And there's no reaction from anyone. There isn't
nobody
even like
reacts
a big
to
music
anything.
Boom. It
oh,
just
it,
happens.
It, so much so that there is so little. People have no reactions and no accountability, right? When she's in her thing going down and she's going to rescue the people, but then it goes awry, he has to rescue her, right? And then rescue them. Now, and because she's insistent on it. Now, Toshi dies, right? Spoiler
yes.
alert. And she's like, you killed Toshi. And it's like, if he hadn't had to rescue you, everybody would be alive right now. But she kept making it such that he kept having to go after her. I was like, you have to have personal accountability, guys.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? Otherwise, Toshi would be alive.
I feel like the most like reaction you got was from the man with the scraggly hair who was like, that shark ain't my friend.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, like, that
I was called,
oh, give him an Oscar.
I believe he was called The Wall.
But that guy's fantastic.
Called The Wall?
He's great.
He's on Maria Bamford's show. You know, he plays her husband on the show, and he I love that guy. I was like, you killed off the arguably the best and most interesting like member of this team that I could discern what the personality was. Ruby Rose looked cool, but I don't know what purpose she served.
Yeah.
No one served the purpose. They're all making these plans. That seemed pretty like, all right, we'll do this. I don't know. Yeah.
Can we at go back to... Oh, sorry.
Sorry. No,
you
please.
Go.
I was just going to say at the end, it seemed like she was a hacker, but I don't know.
She did seem like a hacker, but then she built the shark tank thing that went down. She was very confusing in her hair. But Toshi, that was his name, right? Toshi, when he wrote that letter, I was like, what's your plan? You're in water.
Yeah.
It's paper.
Right.
Nobody will read it.
No one seems to have an idea that they were dragged into a water-based job.
Like, here's the
everyone's
thing, right?
Reacting. Yeah. Everyone's like, why am I here?
And they all, it really is like, there is like the the deck, the main hub of the thing, right?
Yeah.
Right? And where the what's it called? Mana One?
Yeah,
right?
Mana One.
Okay. They're all there, right? But the whole room is full of people who have completely different skill sets. Like, so there is Ruby Rose, who's like, chackety clackety clackety, I'm a hacker. There's the guy who's like, I'm driving the rover. There's a doctor who's just
doctor.
There on the yeah. deck of the, on the, in the,
in the main, it
in the
would,
main,
yeah.
Like, he wouldn't be, they're all, like, it might as well be like, and here's the chef, who's gonna be,
yeah.
later, we get a cooking dinner, like, yeah. All, everybody, this would not lay out
it's,
like this.
It's a bad improv scene. Like, everyone get in here.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
This shark research facility needs to step up its game.
Well, as the doctor aboard this ship, I think we need to...
Wait, I'm the janitor.
The,
and,
wait, did the doctor interview Jason Statham in that video? Was that the doctor?
Yes, the high-angle video.
Which is like, what?
Yeah.
Well, because he was on that submarine that exploded in the first scene.
Oh, yes. I mean, come on.
And by the way, they're blaming him for that death. It's like, that fucking submarine blew up. Yeah,
and
they're like...
he saved you.
Yeah.
It made no sense.
And they basically were accusing Statham of having, like, deep sea madness.
From the abyss.
Not basically. I think they said it.
They were like, oh, he's got deep sea madness. Yeah. What?
That they planted at the beginning of the movie, so I'm like, oh, later on in the movie, someone's going to get it and try to get it, but no.
Remember when the two helicopters flew into each other?
Yes! For no reason!
Suddenly, at a point in the movie, the sky's full of helicopters.
Yeah.
By the way, all I wanted to see in that sequence was that fucking Meg just come out and eat that helicopter.
Yes!
Like, eat that helicopter. Yeah.
How do you that, not...
The helicopter.
I agree. How do you not do that?
I don't know. But when the helicopters collided, I was like, okay, there's something.
I said, like, I wrote down a note at one point. I was like, this movie should be called Stay Away from Tension Wires. Because the entire movie is like, oh, shit. It's like, tension wires were much more dangerous than any shark. Yeah. You know, it was like they were all being hit by debris. That was it. Even the helicopter was like, oh, fuck.
And I think maybe three times the shark is somehow entangled in something. So when it's about to hit something or eat something, it stops right at the last second and gets pulled back. like a few times.
Yeah.
Like, it reminded me a lot of The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
When they're trying to escape the shark and that shark's stupid too. And then it like gets caught in that little thing. But like I felt like that when it got caught and Jason Statham's just floating in front of it being like, wow. Like, and then this dead lady on his arm, like she was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's
abyss,
no way
the
she
abyss. That's
survived
another
thing that.
Yeah. Are you guys looking for a watch that actually looks good, but it's a smartwatch and that's affordable? Yeah, me too. And let me tell you something. One of the watches I've gotten the biggest compliments on in my life has been a Fossil watch. And now Fossil just came out with their most innovative touchscreen like watch, right? It's the Fossil QGen 4-hour smartwatch, which starts at $255. Yeah, you heard that right, $255. And it's compatible with my iPhone and Android phones. And they come equipped with impressive new features that fit your lifestyle, right? So you can measure your heart rate during a workout, which is amazing. I just love kind of looking down at it. And it's a good looking watch. It doesn't look like those clunky, you know, smartwatches. I think that there's no style to some of these. And so I love wearing it. I feel like it can do wear and tear well. And it also lets me kind of do that, like, you know, you don't have to like bring your phone with you. I do sometimes like these runs and I want to go out, but I kind of want to get lost, especially when I go like on vacation. Like, I'm like, where am I going to go? And then I want to find my way back. But here's great, because you can actually use the watch without having the phone there. So you can have GPS, which is great. It's perfect. And it's got all the staple features everyone loves, like receiving text, calls, social updates, and more on your wrist. But it's a way to kind of connect your phone to something that is a little bit more affordable. And I got to say, a hella lot more stylish. It does it all. It's amazing. It's fashion friendly. It's great. And you know what? We all know that Fossil's known for standing out with a wide range of customizable digital dials and watch straps, giving you limitless ways to match your personal style. We know this. Why am I telling it to you? Because I want to reiterate, you don't have to look like, you're wearing a smartwatch all the time. You can actually have something that you can like take out that looks respectable for once, God damn it. Grab yours now, starting at $255 at fossil.com/bonkers. The watch is really, really beautiful. I think you're really going to dig it. Check it out. It is, of course, I'm going to say it one more time, the Fossil Q-Gen 4-Hour Smartwatch.
Well, let's go into the audience and see what you guys have to say about this movie. All right. Sir, your name, give me your most blasé reading of, oh, look, there's a giant prehistoric shark. Any way you want. You can phrase it in any way you want.
My name's Ren. Oh, there's a giant shark.
Pretty good. That was pretty good. That was about
on the par.
I don't
know. That was too much feeling. Yeah. You were sad about it.
All right, your question.
So when this movie was in turnaround back in the 90s, when Disney acquired it, at one point Guillermo del Toro was attached to the movie as a producer, and he may have ended up directing it. So if the fish man from The Shape of Water was in this movie, would this meet or exceed your expectations from what you saw?
If the fish man was in this movie, wouldn't that have been amazing if in the last scene, like the post-credit scene, like the Meg met up with the fish man and they were like buddies?
And he goes, I've trained you well. Now we go to New York.
Yeah. And then the fish man was like, hey, dude, smell my fingers. Right? Right?
Sir?
Right? Did Meg, wait, because I think this is when I was dropping a hot deuce in the bathroom at the Ark. Like, did Rainn Wilson get killed?
What?
Yes.
I missed. That's what I missed. Yes. I missed that.
Wait, did
scene.
You miss the part where they dropped so much explosive on the whale that it blew up and got all in that guy's face?
Yeah,
instead
I
of
missed that.
Oh.
He was in a helicopter in and he got whale
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I saw
it.
Them in the helicopter and he's got the explosives and he tosses it to his friend.
Well, then they take off and he falls off the boat and nobody notices. So then he climbs on the whale and then the Meg takes a bite next to him and he's like, phew, and then it eats him but leaves his hand.
Yeah.
Did anyone else catch that? His hand was still there. It was wild.
I think the hand will be in the sequel.
I also have an issue with a movie like this where Meg is eating one person at a time. Like, why go back for the one? It makes no difference.
It would be as if like we were just singling out individual ants to eat.
Yes. I was going to say a piece of pirate's booty. Like, I open a bag and I just take one. And then I seal up the bag and I put it back away.
I was going to say a French fry.
Oh, that's good. Okay, that's good.
Nicole, I was going to say a Skittle.
All right, great. Ma'am, what were you going to say?
But like when the Meg is chasing Pippin the dog, I was like, this dog is not on this shark's radar.
Yeah.
This shark is too big to notice this small. Because the Meg's mouth, when the Meg's mouth opens up, it's like a whale in getting plankton, you know, or something.
Yeah,
it is
exactly.
Anyway,
And the size of the shark was a little inconsistent here.
Yes.
Oh, it was so inconsistent. It was very confusing. But then I was like, well, things do look different in the water, so I was like, it's okay.
And I'm sure they were taking that into account.
Well, there wasn't attention to detail after it ate all those people and at the beach. You could see some of their like bathing suits in his teeth. You didn't
notice? Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
It was,
I didn't
hear me say, ooh, look at the detail.
What would you say, Nicole? Would you say it's fair, like 65% of the things that you call out are set deck, right? Set, you know, you're like, I like that.
Well, yes, I like set decoration and fucking. Those are the two things I want to see in a movie.
By the way, the kid that this movie needs to, the sequel needs to be about that kid who gets his life saved, the ice cream pop eating kid.
Wait a minute, that kid.
I love that
okay,
kid.
Okay, why were those cluster of people trapped together
in the
water? And also, hey kid, get rid of your fucking popsicle.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a commitment to being fat. I identified with that.
I was
okay?
like...
I was like, I wouldn't drop it either.
I was like, at this point, the popsicle's been in the water.
Yeah. Who cares? That's a salty treat. It's salty sweet. That's a commitment to being fat. He's like, well, if I'm a die, I'm a die happy. Lick, 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 lick. That's how I'm going out with like a
suddenly,
hot dog in my mouth.
Suddenly, like, 3 dozen people are a mile and a half out. As if they're stuck together, and he's like, uh-oh.
Ma'am, your unenthused response to a shark and your question.
So oh, it's a shark.
Great.
No, okay. So my question is, they claim that this is the first time anyone's gone below this hyper cold layer. So why is Jason Statham, the supposed expert who's already had PTSD from this shark, but there's no explanation as how he got below the layer or how he met this shark to begin. What is his origin story with the shark? You guys never talked about this.
Oh, it's that, it's the, hey.
That's good.
Hey, lady.
Listen, hey. Wow. Hey. Listen.
Wow. Hey, lady.
She, just to give you a visual picture, she was gesticulating with a glass of wine the entire time.
Okay. Hey. Now it makes
hey,
sense.
Hey, lady, don't yell at us. First of all, don't yell at us. Second of all, it's in that first scene. The first, I don't think they're below that layer, but like...
I think it cracked that layer. Like, I think the ship like ran aground in that layer. That's what I think.
Got it. Here's what I will say. There is an episode of Blue Planet 2.
Uh-huh.
Wherein there is a kind of salt water that has a higher saline density than regular salt water that that some sort of animal in the ocean secretes or whatever. That salt water, because it's higher in saline, sinks to the bottom of the ocean. So at the bottom of the ocean, there is a lake of heavier
of
water.
Just jizz?
No, it's just heavier water. And they go, it's like this, and there is an ecosystem within that thing that is unto itself unique. And it's awesome.
It's more interesting than this movie.
Eat shit, nerds!
But,
yeah!
I do want to just... to address one of the things that the wine lady said, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, he doesn't know it was a shark, right?
No, he said it was something, and then they called him crazy, and they said that he had deep sea psychosis
or
whatever.
Because he sees,
like,
he
there's
sees
nothing
it,
out there.
Well, he sees it hitting the submarine.
But the submarine still did blow up, so it seems like...
They're all there, too, and so they can all hear something hitting the hull of
yes.
the...
Yes,
right, yeah.
So it doesn't make sense that they think he's crazy.
Yeah, because everything happened.
Yeah.
It could have been so... It would have been
so easy.
If
he was the only survivor...
Yes, exactly. That's what I was about to say. It would have been so easy to have set him up as someone who's lost his mind, someone who is believing a fiction...
Quint!
Exactly. Yeah. But no, they have ample evidence to the contrary, but people are still like, he's good. Deep sea madness.
Yeah.
This dude literally saved your life.
And it didn't need to have anything to do with the Meg either. It could have been a completely different event that scarred him and made him kind of ostracized or
because
whatever.
I think one of the fun things about like Jaws or great films like Piranha 3D is that...
Yeah. Keep going.
Is that opening scene is somewhat fun and off the main story of the movie. It's
right.
Like it's oh, we're getting to see this creature. It's a scary moment. And that scene was a lot of exposition. It was not fun, and it wasn't scary. And
not
you didn't
visually
see
interesting.
Yeah, no. It was none of those things. It was like, boom, we're in. I'm, oh, okay, great. That's how I felt. Ma'am, your unenthused response to a shark and your question.
Hey, y'all, shark.
Great.
So my question is about that little girl, because one of the first times we see her is when her mom leaves the conference room, walks into the hallway. She's got
yes!
strewn over everything. No one is watching her. The second time, after mom has gone to do her failed rescue, Jason Statham ends up in a submersible, and this little girl is in the pilot chair of something that probably costs millions of dollars. Yeah. My question to you guys is, like, why was no one watching this child?
I will say, I believed from the father to the daughter to the granddaughter, everyone is a terrible parent in this movie.
Well, there's clearly no child care. Yeah, there was no child care on that boat at all.
The also, girl doesn't appear to be in school.
No, and she doesn't have a room. Like, she was just there. I was like, that's her bedroom.
By the way, Statham's ex-wife is recovering, and then she's like, I gotta play cards with this girl? Okay, fine.
Also, I don't know if you noticed, but in the last scene, the little girl had a barrette that said love, and it was
upside down.
I was like, just part her hair a different fucking way.
I was like, what's... how do
it
you
was
do
wild.
This? What's going on? Ugh. Also, that the mother, the main scientist's daughter, who's the mother of the child, this woman here, dies in the movie. She dies, is dead. And then they're like, boop, 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 boop. And she's like, okay, I'm ready to go. I'm back. Right? And there is no representation.
By the way, I may fall asleep during that point.
There was a moment in the beginning of the movie where I was like, and then I really perked up. I don't remember that.
Oh, she
at
yeah
all.
In
yeah,
the
she
shark tank.
She,
you know, when they her mask breaks.
Oh, I saw that.
She
okay.
passes away.
Oh,
and then she
wakes
up like, oh, and they're like, be careful, you were dead a minute ago. And then she's like, can I talk to Jonas alone? And I was like, oh,
they go,
they're
fuck.
About to fuck.
Like, just a sad
I was like,
yes.
I was like, she woke up from death horny.
Yes, horny.
She's like, I've been to the other side. I need that dick. Right?
Yes, and
then
didn't
they
happen.
Didn't.
There
and
was so many times they could have fucked, like when she went in and he was shirtless and she's like, you're naked. And
yes.
it was like, yeah, fuck him. Suck his
yes.
dick. Do something.
She's just like, she just
something.
Keeps looking.
Yes.
She just keeps
and then,
looking like,
even when she like looked back, I didn't buy it.
Yes.
I was like, what
Come
are you doing,
in.
Bitch?
Take
get
the
in there,
towel
take
off.
Take your clothes
get
off. Get your pussy
work.
Scooped out. Fucking
What's
get
up?
Fucked. Ugh.
Nicole.
By the way, we gotta write the sequel. People who control the Meg, please let Nicole and I write the sequel. It will be X-rated. There will be penetrative sex between
yes.
between humans,
and
between humans
shark.
And fish.
I want people fucking on the Meg.
Yeah.
Riding them through the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta yes. fuck in its mouth. Gotta fuck in its
fuck
mouth.
Fuck in its mouth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, how great would that have been?
Ooh,
if they get
they
swallowed,
swallowed
and they're
and
like,
they're
here
like,
we
well,
are.
We better just fuck.
In the belly yes. of the beast. I guess we should
and then
fuck.
They fuck out of the shark.
Yes.
They fuck so hard.
They fuck
they make
so
a
hard.
Hole and they plop out.
Then they're just like, whoa. And just as they're both coming together
yes.
because they're in love, the shark vomits them out into the air
mm-hmm.
where the daughter on a boat is watching.
And she goes, yeah.
And she's like, it's like Free Willy. It's Free Willy. We got
we gotta do
how,
it.
Guys, that's how easy it is.
International box office achieved.
You know what bothered me about the movie in general was it had the same problem. Like, Jaws eats people, right?
Right.
Jaws goes after, like, a swimmer
yeah.
or whatever.
Jaws acts like a shark.
A shark that is like that is size appropriate.
Right.
It's chasing people singular.
Right.
The Meg should be, its size should dictate that it doesn't just individually pick people off. It should be picking whole groups of people off
I would
off
argue
together.
It's yes. harder for the Meg to individually pick people off because his mouth is so big.
Yes.
It almost mm-hmm. seems like, you're like what you said, you're always going to be getting extra in there. It's,
yeah.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah.
It should have, like, eaten half a boat with one bite.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It should have gone through that beach and just swallowed up like 40 people.
Yes!
This shark is the equivalent of the Tostitos scoop chip
yes.
versus
yes.
the regular Tostito chip. It's like...
Wait, break that down for me.
Because
no,
when you
no,
put
I
the scoop
it.
In, you're
guacamole
getting a, you're
yes,
getting a
you
lot of
oh,
stuff
I
in
see,
there.
I see, I see.
When you
I
put
see.
Your regular chip in.
Sure,
falls off.
But I think, see, I think this is like a scoop chip the size of a bowl. Right?
Damn right. And that's the opening scene of your movie where they fuck.
Yes!
Close
yes!
up on.
They're just scooping out their vaginas.
Ma'am, your reaction to a shark and your question.
Oh shit, shark. Great. So, I actually, so I saw the movie by myself, and I just had to...
Hold on 1 second. How many of you saw it by yourself? I did. All right. All right, that's it. No, yeah, that's good.
It sounds like you're upset by that.
No, no.
Are you upset you saw it by yourself?
No, I'm confident about it, but I heard something that I felt like I needed to share. So you know the little chubby kid with the mic, or with the...
The lollipop or the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's like running into the like water with his little thing, and the guy next to me like leans over to his girlfriend, and he's like, hey, that's to you.
Wait.
What? Wait,
because,
what?
Hey, that's you?
Yeah, because she's like a chubby, like, overweight, and I just...
You're telling me...
Oh,
you're
my
telling
God!
Me, wait, so you're telling me that that guy said, hey, that's you, to the woman that he was with?
Right.
Right?
Correct.
And they are successfully in love?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about... I don't
I'll
know about
Yes.
What world am I living in?
I'm on his side. I'm on his side. He sees her in everything. I'm desperate and single. I can rationalize anything a man says.
I would get it if he goes, hey, that's you, and I'm the popsicle.
That is.
Then I'm like, okay, they're cute together. No. I get that.
Oh my God.
Also, did you notice that when Statham cuts the shark from tail to tip, open, and then stabs it in the eye, blah, 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 there is a swell of heroic music that comes up, right? But it's not for him, it's for all the sharks that are coming to eat the Meg.
Yeah.
So all these like true, terrifying killer sharks come and feast on the Meg, and the music is up like, hooray, the Meg's getting its due. But whatever, this is really just like a huge, they should bomb that.
Right, get all the sharks
out.
Get rid
of all those sharks.
Yeah.
And we gotta get rid of
that
sharks.
Delicious shark fin soup.
Yeah, give me that shark fin soup boner.
It is now time for second opinions.
Give it 5 stars. Give it 5 stars. That shark was vicious and Dwight Schrute's delicious, so give it 5 stars. It took a full hour too long, enough for me to write the song. You gotta love it, Jaws can shove it. Give it 5 stars.
Give it up for Caitlin, that was amazing. Caitlin walking away with a How Did This Get Made Fast and Furious inspired poster with Mr. Adam Scott on it right there as well. It is now time.
Caitlin, you're lost. You can't get down that way,
yep,
can you?
This way.
Caitlin is now just wandering the stage. By the way, I would love it if for the rest of the show you just wandered.
Comes out from behind the screen.
In and out, like, incapable of getting off stage.
All right, here we go. It is now time for second opinions.
So when I saw this movie, I had my own opinion. I sat down and logged on and wrote my second opinion. I gave this song 5 stars. I wrote my second opinion. I love this giant fucking shark, Meg.
Amazing. Here is a specially designed Jason Mantzoukas poster. There you go. Thank you so much. All right. Well, Amazon didn't have many reviews of these films, but I found some here. This is from Rotten Tomatoes. This one starts off like this. Honestly, haven't seen it yet, but I'm giving it a preemptive 5 stars because I'm just that buck wild about the Meg. Not so hot on the cast and crew or the marketing team at Warner Brothers.
The crew?
Wait, not so hot on the crew?
Yeah, yep. What the fuck did the crew do?
There's a whole electrical department that's like, oh, come on, man.
Still haven't gotten any comp ticks for the film or anything like what I'm going to have to pay full price. What gives you the right? I've been nothing but supportive from day one. And now maybe I don't even want to see your shark film. 5 stars, though, because the trailer was good and I like that song by Bobby Darin. Somewhere beyond the sea, there's a shark. LOL, JK, 5 stars.
Maybe that was George Clooney who's upset that he was no longer involved.
What a wild review. Like, it is thoroughly through and through negative,
yeah,
except for the 5 stars. I didn't get comp tickets. I don't care for the cast, the crew, or the marketing of this movie. But then goes on to be like, but the trailer was great. The trailer is marketing, you shithead.
I mean, look, Bobby Darin, I think, is really pulling home that review, that 5 stars. Yeah.
Wait, did Bobby Darin write that review?
By the way, my favorite part of it, if we're talking about songs, the Thai version of Mickey, You're So Fine was pretty great.
Wow, yeah.
Love that, even though I had to come back to it at the end. All right, Frederick D. writes, and this one's not as funny as it is just off. The movie did not rely too heavily on CGI. And for those of you compare this to Jaws, it's just as good because it has the same horror element, namely an unseen horror. Really? I think the shark is all over this movie.
You got a really good look at it.
Multiple times. Where the shots of the creature are limited for a time or until the moment they're immersed in the action attempting to kill it. And unlike Jaws, the manner in which they do kill it is more epic and more realistic. 5 stars.
What?
This guy, this girl, Brenda B., writes, "It was an amazing movie. I love the detail the editors gave to create the Megalodon." First of all, not the editors. And I'm obsessed with sharks. I love learning new things about them.
I just need
Plus,
you to...
Shark Week. Yes?
I need you to edit this movie. If you can, edit a shark into it. You know, cut the scenes together, take the take so we get an understanding of the setting and the actors' takes, and then just insert a full shark into
this
the edit.
This movie was a romantic comedy, and then they add those editors... come in and do their magic.
I love that they learned new things about sharks from watching this movie.
I don't even know what you would learn because this is not a creature that exists. I love learning new things, and I'm obsessed with Shark Week. So if you're obsessed with Shark Week in general, then I am absolutely certain that this will be the best movie that you will ever see. 5 stars. That's Brenda B. And I'll take it down to end on Lindsay M., who writes, "Fantastic. And I loved it. And Ruby Rose? Phenomenal! The movie had amazing special effects and thrilling moments. I'll probably watch it again. Maybe even buy it on Blu-ray. Spoiler alert! ... Rose doesn't die in the movie. I seriously was gonna straight up walk out if she didn't survive it. No joke. Yes, I know it's a movie. 5 stars.
I liked it. Enough people say to him, you know it's just a movie, that he has to preemptively say it in the review.
You didn't kill Ruby Rose. Now, if you question the movie's reality, here is, this is Mythbusters seeing what a megalodon would do to a jet ski. Take a look. So the Mythbusters created a giant megalodon shark that they thought it would be.
Wait. Is this recent?
Yes.
Okay.
2, 3.
And they use its crunching jaws to bite a jet ski in
half. I see. Okay. So cool.
Is that like promotion for the movie? Or?
I don't know where that clip came from, but I know it's here. And I know that Avril Halley, who got...
It's in your folder of things for the Meg?
It's actually my jerk-off folder.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, my dick's the jet ski.
Eat that jet ski, yummy, yummy.
Crunch down on my jet ski, Meg.
Okay. Well, Jason, would you recommend this movie?
You know, here's what I'll say. I think this would have been more fun if I'd been with friends in a packed theater.
Yes.
I don't think, I would not recommend it like we saw it, like alone, or Five. You saw it with a friend. I saw it alone. As did girl over here and some other folks. We saw it, you know, alone. No, and it's not as fun. So right. I would either see it with friends or go at a time where you think a lot of people might be there or wait until it's on iTunes or something, get friends to come over and watch it. Then it would be fun. Yeah. But otherwise, it's not so great you got to rush out and see it, you know, in an empty theater alone.
Nicole?
I didn't get to see it the way I normally watch movies. Usually I'll bring in 2 bottles of some white wine and just by the middle, be wild. But I knew I had to come here, so I didn't do that.
I appreciate this is the tone down. You still are enjoying it enough to comment on it.
Oh, I talk through all movies. More or less.
2 bottles of white wine just for you?
Oh, no, I share. So 1 for me, 1 for a friend.
Great.
And then if they don't drink it, I drink theirs.
And are you pouring it into cups, or are you like just long straw?
No, you gotta get some cups. You can't be a savage. You gotta be have some class.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize the cups was the demarcating line between savage or
not.
Well,
you can't just be, you know.
No, I was thinking long straw.
Oh. Well, Well, straws are banned in LA, right?
Oh, that's right. We're not allowed
Which
to have straws.
Which is so annoying, because if you're drinking something with ice in it, sometimes the ice attacks your face.
I bought straws.
Can you straight up not get straws in restaurants anymore?
You have to ask, yes. And then yes. They might give you a paper straw.
Don't like yes. That paper straw.
Paper straw.
Guess what that is? Not nothing. Helpful.
Yes. Oh.
By the way, I agree with you. I think I saw you said somewhere that I don't want to try your homemade ketchup restaurant.
Yeah, I don't.
Right? Like any restaurant with their own homemade ketchup.
Don't like it.
No thanks.
Yeah, I don't. I don't like homemade
ketchup. Fucking Heinz, right?
Yeah, all the way. Heinz all day. Adam,
fun.
Do you recommend the movie?
Yeah, sure. I think kind of the same. Like I was by myself and I feel like there's so easily like there's you could have made it so much better with like really easy things that wouldn't have cost more money or taken more time. Really easy things. Just, so it's a little frustrating that it couldn't have been more fun, but it was all right.
I think it walks that line of not just being fun, but I will say being in the theater, I also am recommending it, I think better as a home rental, but there was a moment where one of the characters says, I came here to celebrate with you, and now I'm mourning with you. And the entire audience started laughing. And I was like, all right, we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
And there's something about the theater experience in that, arguably the most dramatic line in the entire movie.
Yeah, I feel like if you went right now to like a primetime showing, it would be fun.
Yes.
You know, but otherwise, less so.
Get drunk, go see it with friends. Nicole, what do you have going on? What do you want to tell us about?
Oh, no. What do I have going on? Nailed It is streaming on Netflix.
The best.
Oh, funny.
The best.
New episodes come out in December. I have a special coming out, I think, at the beginning of next year. I don't have a date yet. That's also on Netflix. Netflix has been good to me.
I love that.
That's it.
Adam, what do you got?
I did Shut Big Little Lies this summer. That'll be out next year.
That's exciting. I'm excited for that. I love that first season.
Yeah. It's season two is going to be real juicy.
Ooh, excited. Jason?
It's because in season two, you guys run a cold-pressed juicery, right?
We're juicing the entire time.
Yeah.
And it becomes like a real like ensemble workplace, like broad comedy.
Yeah,
like,
it's very different, season two.
It's almost like that Kathy Bates Weed Shop show on Netflix.
Yep.
By the way, if you don't know about that, enjoy. Jason?
You know, Paul, I don't have anything to plug, although I will, once again, now that the Chris Gethard show has been canceled,
yes,
I would like to implore our fans to find the Show Us Your Pets episode that exists, I believe, only on True TV's inane app, and, you know, put it online somewhere where everybody else can watch it, maybe on, like, a porn site or something. Let's, like, get it out there. I want people to see it. If you have not seen the episode of the show in which Paul and I try and guess what's in a dumpster...
Don't spoil it for your friends. It's great. It's,
pass it around.
I just watched it. It's so fucking funny.
It's really
incredible.
Funny.
It's love
funny,
it. Really
funny, and I want people to see it. And if you think it should have been listed in the Ringer top 100 episodes of this century, please feel free to tweet at Chris Ryan at The Ringer and tell him so. And you might want to remind him that he's a fucking turd. I'd also like to recommend the... Tilly Walden has written a book called Spinning that is a fantastic book. It's a great graphic novel that is about her growing up. I would recommend everybody buy it. It's called Spinning. Go. Yay.
I love that. I got two things I want to plug. One is, I told Jason about this, if you like Mission Impossible, especially Fallout, which I did, there is a 7-hour podcast split into two parts with Christopher McQuarrie that deep dives into every aspect of the movie, and it sounds like, oh, that's a slog. I'm 4 hours in, and I'm like, can't wait to hear more.
Wow.
It is...
That movie was amazing.
I was awesome. I loved it. Yeah. And then I'll also say, be on the lookout. There's a new trailer out right now for Slice. I'm in the movie with Chance the Rapper and Zazie Beetz, and it is coming out
sometime. But the trailer just dropped, and let that mystery surround you. I can't say more, but it is in the vicinity of maybe coming out.
I love that as a date.
Yes.
Check it out in the vicinity of when it's coming out.
Follow us on social media for clues. That's what I can say, for clues. All right, thank you all for coming. A big thanks to Avril Halley, who pulled all these together, Nate Kiley, July up in the booth, Alec up in the booth. Thank you all for coming. Give it up for our panel.
People, I love the Magical Tavern podcast. Do you know about this? It's, okay, here's the premise. This guy, Arnie, he fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago, and he landed in the magical land of Foon, where he hosts a podcast every week with a wizard and a talking badger. It's kind of like Cheers in Middle Earth or Always Sunny in Narnia. It's great. If you like this kind of stuff, like Lord of the Rings and that kind of like fantasy fiction, it's so fucking funny. It's an interview show in this bar where you have some of our favorite, or are some of your favorite comedians, some of my favorite comedians, like Paul F. Tompkins as a fancy little fawn, and Lauren Lapkus as a shy genie, and Sean and Hayes from Hollywood Handbook as mole warriors, or Matt Gourley and Amanda Lund as a couple looking to buy a wizard's house, Tony Newsom as an angry teenage elf, John Gabris as a drunken dwarf. So many great people on this show. Felicia Day, Jesse Thorne, Alex Goldman, Travis McElroy, David Plotz, Jordan Klepper, Scott Adsit, and so many more. But here's why I listen. Because I love the guys who host the show, okay? It's Hello from the Magic Tavern. It's every Monday on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. And it's just innovative and funny. And it always, always makes me laugh. This is going to be a podcast that's going to be turned into a TV show. It's so, so good. That's Hello from Magic Tavern every Monday on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your pods.
Hey, I'm Arnie Niekamp, host of the Earwolf podcast, Hello from the Magic Tavern, a fully improvised comedy chat show set in a magical world. I'm from Chicago, but my co-hosts are a talking badger.
Oh yeah, baby. Well, I'm actually a shapeshifter.
Yeah, it's complicated. I'm also joined by a talking wizard.
All wizards can talk, but I am the greatest talker of them all.
I'm trapped in a magical land, and instead of having adventures, every week we interview monsters and talking animals. Some of the great guests we've had on the show include Lauren Lapkus,
Paul F. Tompkins,
Travis McElroy,
Tawny Newsom, Felicia Day,
Sean and Hayes from Hollywood Handbook,
Zach and Jess from Off Book,
Scott Adsit, Janet Varney,
Matt Besser, Danielle Schneider, Todd Barry,
Gilbert Gottfried, all these guests, and many, many more.
You can start from the first episode if you want to follow the whole journey.
You can jump in if you scroll through and you see a character that sounds interesting.
Or just listen to the most recent episode.
That's Hello from the Magic Tavern. Listen to it on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.